rubber bands. They come in many different shapes, many different sizes. But there's one thing about all rubber bands. They're pretty useless unless they're stretched, right? If I put a rubber band around this one pencil, doesn't do a thing for it, right? If I put it around three pencils, still doesn't do much. But if I stretch it around a whole bunch of pencils, then it can do something. It's on a slant here, so they won't stand up. It ruins me, but we'll get it to work here somehow. There you go. Rubber bands are a lot like us. We're pretty useless, too, unless we're stretched. We need to be stretched beyond our natural abilities, beyond what we can do by ourselves. If you're not being stretched, if you're not growing in your own personal walk with God, then you're not going to be very effective working for God. I hope that this series of sermons that we have just started called Paradise Valley's Windows of Grace will give us the opportunity to stretch a bit and become more effective in our service and our relationship with God. We're beginning by looking at the side windows of our sanctuary, which you don't get to see, but I hope you'll come up here and look back one of these days and see all these beautiful windows here. The windows in the sanctuary here on this side are depicting the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit which is described for us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." I need to remind you once again that we're speaking of fruit, not fruits. Okay, this is singular, not plural. We're not looking at a collection of different fruits, but rather one fruit, which is manifested in a number of ways. Which means we cannot pick and choose which part of this fruit we want in our lives. Either we have it all, or we don't have it at all. Now, that may sound easy right now to you, but as we go through this series, you're going to discover that's not so easy. Today, we're looking at one aspect of that fruit, and that is love. And in the original Greek language, the word love that we're talking about is the agape love. The Greek language has several different words that are translated in English as love. There's phileo love, which is brotherly, family love. There's erotic love. There's different kinds of love, but we're looking at what was called agape love, which is a very special kind of love. It is the pure love from God. A love which loves the unlovable. It's a love that's not easily offended. Some of us here really need to take note of this morning, because some of us are so easily offended. I hear you. He didn't speak to me, so I'm not going to speak to him either. She walked right past me and didn't even say hi. Guess what? Neither did you. If you'd have said hi, they would have said hi too, right? But we are so easily offended because we don't have this kind of love. It is a love described for us in 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read a fairly lengthy passage here and then back up and unpack it together with you. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7, says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and that he is in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. But there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Wow. What a lot God is asking of us. Is it possible? How many of us have ever had trouble loving someone else in this world? Come on, my hand's up. Every hand should be up. We all have struggled in this area, haven't we? You can put them down now. I know. I hear it all the time. Let's get this much straight to start with. God is not saying you have to like everything everyone does, but he does say you must love them. Even God does not like everything you do, but he does love you. This love being spoken about here is God's unconditional love. It's a love that loves sinners and is even willing to die for the sinner while hating the sin of that sinner. Is it possible to have that kind of love for someone else? Hey, it's not only possible. According to this passage of Scripture, it's mandatory. Look at that verse again. He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I told you I was going to stretch you in this series, didn't I? Bet you didn't think it was going to come this quick. This is stretching. This is deep theology, if you please. Relax. Take a deep breath and listen for a few minutes. Let me remind you, you cannot do it by working on loving. The only way this kind of love is possible, and God knows it and has told us, the only way this is possible is if he gives us this kind of love. That is why it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you work up. It's not something you generate. It is something that comes to you as you abide in God. So just take a deep breath and let's just unpack this a little bit together this morning. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Right here, you see very, very quickly why God uses the word agape here for this love. He is referring to his perfect love. In the English language, we have so many different uses for love that many of us could argue over this text, where it says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We say, wait a minute. I know people who love who don't know God. Don't you? So is this saying the truth or is it not saying the truth? Can you love without knowing God? God is saying you cannot truly have agape, pure, undefiled love, unless you know God. Let's see if we can understand why. God goes on to give us a pictorial definition of what this love really looks like. The next verse. This is how God showed his agape love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We all know a lot of people who pledge their undying love and devotion to someone else, yet when the other person's sins show its ugly head, far from being ready to die for that person, we usually abandon them, divorce them, leave them, or take them to court. That's not what God does. Our human nature is to get mad and angry when others do something wrong to us. God says, I want to change that human nature back to my divine nature. I want to give you the pure kind of love that will love the unlovable, that will love the sinner. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ does not wait for us to become perfect, obedient followers of him before he demonstrates his love for us. He loves us so much that before we could ever do anything about our sinfulness, he came and died for us. While we were still rotten, miserable sinners, before we could even say, I'm sorry, he died for us. And he asked us to have that same kind of love for each other. That, my friend, is what agape love is. It's the kind of love that God wants us to have for each other. Let's get back to our passage, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This standard is extremely high. God is not setting a standard high to frustrate us. He's setting an extremely high standard for us because he wants to bless us and bless all of our relationships. This is really a God thing because it really is humanly impossible for us to achieve by ourselves. Notice how it says it is possible. God does what? Lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Who's doing the action there? Who's making it possible? God is. It is God doing it to you. It's not you doing it for God. God says, I want to come and I want to literally live in you. I want to make my love complete in you. In fact, notice the very next verse. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. This is not only how we know, it is also how we can love like this. It is the fruit. It is the consequences. It is the action of the Holy Spirit dwelling through us and producing that fruit in our lives. It is only possible when the Holy Spirit has full control of our lives. There is literally no other way for it to happen. It is truly impossible without the Holy Spirit living in us, producing it for us. Look at verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. What does it say we rely on? Do we rely on our own strength? Do we rely on our own love even? No, it says we rely on the love God has for us. Once again, we see that very, very close connection with God being spoken about, don't we? He says, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. It is impossible to have this pure, unconditional love apart from a close, intimate connection with God. It is impossible. Yes, the world has a version of love. Yes, there are loving people in the world that don't know God. But it's not this love. They wouldn't die for you. They wouldn't choose to come while you were evil and wicked and die for you. That's not the kind of love they have. They have a love that loves you if you love them back. They have a love that will love if they can get some benefit for it. You recall last week in John 15, verse 4, speaking about that abiding in Christ, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what do you do when you discover you're not loving the way God says we are to love? Quit? Well, that's a way a lot of us choose to do. What does it mean when we recognize that we're falling short of God's ideal love? It simply means this. We're out of relationship with God. It doesn't mean that we are evil and bad. It simply means that we need to step back and step into that relationship which makes it all possible. There are many, many, many things which will cause us to slip out of that relationship. Just becoming too busy is probably the most common issue. We become tired, overworked, overwhelmed, or just plain exhausted. It's not that we intentionally neglect that all-important relationship. It's just that the enemy of our souls knows what will happen if he can get us separated from God. And he will do everything he can to just cause it to happen. Not intentionally, not a choice. It's just the things of life get so much that we lose sight of God for just a moment. Any relationship, whether it be you and God, you and your spouse, you and your kids, you and the boss, or the neighbor, or whomever, will suffer if you do not consciously take time and energy to make that relationship grow. It's the same with our walk with God. We must abide in Christ if we expect the power of His Spirit to be affecting our lives. Like the rubber band, God must be stretching us beyond our natural abilities if we're going to become effective and useful for Him. He doesn't hold up an ideal that is impossible for us to accomplish in our own strength just to frustrate us, but rather to stretch us to become more than we currently are. He wants to make us better. He wants to make us useful for the kingdom of God. God is not asking or expecting anything more from us than He was willing to do for us. Notice what it says again in verse 19. We love, why? Because, say it with me, because He first loved us. I'm so thankful that it doesn't read, He loves because we first loved Him. Aren't you? It doesn't read that way. We couldn't love Him until He loved us. We love because God is saying we have the ability to love others because we have first experienced His love for us. But He doesn't just stop there. Let's keep reading on verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. Friends, it's not an option. It's not something we can take or leave. He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. He doesn't even say we should also love our brother and sister, does He? He says we must also love our brother and sister. Told you I was going to stretch you in this series of sermons. And this one is a real stretch, isn't it? But friends, these are not my words. This is God speaking to us. And yes, through an abiding relationship with Him, it is possible. It is the direct result of abiding with Jesus and allowing His Spirit to bear fruit in our lives for God's glory. There is no other way to do it. But yes, it is possible through Christ and through His Spirit working in us to truly love the unlovable. The question for us this morning is, are we willing to let it happen through us? Are we willing to remain so closely connected to the vine Christ Jesus that He is able to live His life through us and produce fruit for the glory of God? Are you willing to let Him stretch you beyond your human capabilities to become more than you are today? May our lives truly bring glory to God today, tomorrow, and every day until He returns in glory to take us home. Father God, we thank You for the challenge that You have left us today. We realize, Father, that we fall far short of Your perfect love. But Father, today we want to come to You and recommit our lives to You. We want You to come in, Father, and truly abide in us. Live Your life fully through us. Fill us with Your love so that we can do the impossible. We can love the unlovable. We can love those who have hurt us. We can love those who neglect us. We can love those who say evil things about us because You loved us first. May we experience that love anew today, and may it bear fruit in our lives for Your glory, for Your kingdom, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.